Blog Talk Radio.
The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. A podcast featuring Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC radio network. During each episode, Elvira and Deb will help you create rituals, cast spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures, and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Deb, take it away.
Away! Oh, that's us.
That's it. Yeah.
Hello. So, I will say welcome to tonight's show. This is Deborah Voith, and I'm here with co-host Elvira Love and our magical announcer, Nagashiva Ironwood. And for tonight, keeping with this month's theme of journeying through transformation, tonight we will be talking about finding your map to the underworld. But first, we're going to take a few minutes to kind of catch up with each other. So I will start us off with talking about what have I been up to for the past week. I've been actually, I'll tell you, there was a couple of weeks that I, as you well know, that I was up in the woods, you know, and so this week has really been kind of about, like, catch-up. Like, I was doing readings and stuff up there, but I was really doing things pretty light. And another thing I just wanted to mention, because me and Elvira were talking about this before we got on the show, is that this full moon energy, this hunter's moon that we're having tonight, I've noticed last night, I especially noticed, but also over the last, I don't know, like at least the last four or five cycles, lunar cycles, that whenever we are going into that full moon, I have a crazy time trying to fall asleep. And it's been happening every month. And, you know, this month I have like this little sky window up on the second floor here. And, you know, I'm peeking out, you know, as I'm laying there trying to cover my head up with the blanket because the full moon, the light of the full moon is just shining intensely into my window, and I'm just like, oh, yep, no wonder. The moon is calling and is not letting me rest. So,
yeah.
But that's all right. That's all right. I got to see the aurora a couple of times, and what was weird is that that one night I saw it, there was only like a 13% chance of seeing it. And we actually saw it pretty good. And then a couple of nights later, it said 70% chance. And it was really cloudy. I couldn't see hardly anything. So I just, you know, I'm excited about October. I just want to say a couple last things. Just see. Oh, I have been asked by my friend Jordan, who owns one of the local shops, Materia Magica, to host a seance on Samhain on October 31st. And so I'm really looking forward to doing that. We used to do them a lot when I had the old shop some years past, and I've held them at my house, you know, here and there. I'm really looking forward to that. It should be really interesting because that's an old building, and I think it has some interesting history to it. So I'm getting, you know, busier and more geared up as we head closer and closer to Samhain. And carving pumpkins, you know, making pumpkin seeds and putting the jack-o'-lanterns out with some candles. I did that with my kids and my grandkids yesterday. So, so how's your past week been, Elvira?
Full of interesting energies. Outside of as we were talking about the full moon energy, was very intense, and it had a lot of peaks and valleys and stuff. But and it's interesting because for me, my family had two joint birthdays on, the Sunday, Monday. And so there was a lot of, family gathering, and it was a lot of fun and, it really kind of bonded us again, all of us together, because we've all been busy doing things and, exploring the world for, the summer and, the beginning of the fall. It was nice. Mm-hmm. And then, catching up with, different people. So that was fun. It alleviated what was the other side. And it was funny because I was mentioning to you, Deb, that it didn't matter what I tried to do. If I went to bed early or if I stayed up and read or whatever, I couldn't get to sleep until 1 o'clock. And it was a consistency. And I'm like, I couldn't, there's no way I could have gone like, this will be a regular time that I just automatically will now fall asleep. But then I went into deep sleep, and I was all over the place in terms of, different kinds of experiences, but very out there with what was going on. And unfortunately, the thing that brought me back to the earth plane as an experience was I was explaining to both, Nagashiva and Deb, we wound up having a building fire in the location of the town that I live outside of, but I happened to be in town at the time that it actually started, and it was at a private recycling company, and it was their big building, and of course, the building is brick and everything in it, so it's, obviously very together in that with, metal cages for different types of things. But I gather from all of the accounts down the road is that the cardboard caught on fire and then proceeded to take out the plastic and all of that and appliances that they had and then hit a propane tank as well. So it was this huge black plume of smoke. And, very toxic. And, of course, they immediately sent out a hazard, hazardous condition and, wear masks and, keep kids and animals and elderly people inside. And, of course, I'm looking at going, well, I'm elderly, but I have a mask. But, that's because I came from, California where we had all the fires, So, but it was ugly and it burned. They didn't have enough of the material to put out the plastic, so they had to let it burn itself out, and it took about 2 days, a day and three quarters, for it to finally burn out, and they kept it contained as the, within the parameters, but it was very, it made the forest, the fires that we had, I think, look bad, but this was just one building with one thing in it that was so obvious. So that was, a big thing that happened on the full moon, by the way, full moon day.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And it's interesting. I actually spent some time today with one of my neighbors who's become a very good friend of mine, and we kind of had coffee and chatted, and it was nice. And it was, I think for me, that was a real grounding element because there had been so much stuff going on that I needed, this external, tactile thing to do after all this energy. But, and of course, my armadillo, the neighborhood armadillo was out foraging yesterday, luckily, because I had my landscaper put you know, pellets to kill off the bugs that the armadillo eats, not to kill the armadillo. And that means he doesn't want to graze in my area, which was what was going on. This is my neighbor's area. And his dogs, oh, my God, he has a pit bull. And, I mean, they were damn near climbing out the window to try and get this little guy. So it was kind of like looking at this thing, and the armadillo could have cared less. He just sort of looked up and sauntered. He didn't run. Mm-hmm. He sauntered off. And then
I love your descriptions of the armadillo. I mean, I've never seen an armadillo, and so I have this image in my head of him, well, like an armadillo with maybe a little hat on his head, and just kind of like browsing along.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, obviously, you know, they do a lot of damage to, you know, burrowing, and they can burrow under your foundations and, you know, cause some problems.
No fun.
And they do carry a disease, bacteria of a disease. So, you know, it isn't exactly like like this cute little thing that you can make a pet out of. I just look at it going, well, if you got one, you have to at least admire how he's functioning. And, and I suppose that, his hearing and sight aren't really, like raccoons or squirrels or anything, because he's very focused, and I think he doesn't have that kind of hearing, but which is probably why he saunters, because he doesn't think anything is of any nature kind of going to come after him. Anyway, so there's the humor of the process and, the reality of day-to-day living here, and it's been cold. I mean, we're getting... the only thing we've gotten is like frost, or moisture that, like dew, but it's been cold and like 30 degrees and, a couple of things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've had, I'm hoping that with the fact that we've got rain situated in the next, either the weekend or by the middle of next week, which is good because believe it or not, this area is in a drought.
Which doesn't
bode well because, this is the land of humidity and super moisture. People don't function.
Yeah.
They're flipping their freaking cigarettes out the window.
Oh, no.
Fires on the side of the road. And you're like, oh, boy.
So
you get used to certain things. Like now, my sense of, my heightened sense of, things around fire because of California, having so many experiences with them. And
kind of
looking like I'm crazy, like, well, we're just doing the burn, it's a controlled, little thing. And I'm like, no, I smell smoke, But anyway.
So
there we are. That's my world in a whirlwind, so to speak. I am looking forward to the underworld. And the map to go plodding along.
So I will start us off with diving into what is the underworld? How do we define it as witches and other spirit workers? The term underworld, it's often referred to, especially like in metaphysical circles. And also, if you're looking things up online, in fantasy role play communities. But I wanted to kind of just get like a real basic way to understand what it means, especially when we witches, especially hedge witches or spirit workers, refer to the underworld. And so, just really broadly, the concept of an underworld is found in just about every civilization, and it's thought to be as old as humanity. And there are many cultures, many stories, and many, many mythologies that feature journeys to the underworld and have like some form of the underworld as part of their cosmic map. So once we get I think like of all these different ways, we can find some commonalities.
And I believe after finding or creating a personal map, after doing some research, I think that almost anyone, no matter what their belief or their faith, I think that all seekers, whether they're pagan, Christian, Wiccan, Jewish, or, you know, on and on and on, I think that we can, once we get past, like, the surface manifestations of the different spiritual constructs that we find in the inner realms, the underworld, I think, represents, along with all, you know, the rest of the inner realms, is just kind of like our human attempt to interface with divinity. And so now I'm starting to kind of get a little bit far out there, so I'm going to pull myself back in. So what I'd like to do in defining the underworld is to kind of look at some of the commonalities and some of the core concepts that are contained in many of the different versions that describe the underworld, just to get a basic understanding when we try to define what it is. And so some of the common or basic themes in many stories about the underworld is that it's a different realm. It's different than the physical realm or the upper realm. It's also, the underworld is usually has a place for the dead. Another thing is in some versions, it's possible to become trapped there. But I think there's a reason for that. And so that's why it's important to have a map. And, you know, with knowledge and research, you can acquire an outline sort of to navigate this realm. Another thing that's often featured is like a river, a lake, or a veil, or there'll be some kind of a feature that needs to be crossed to get there. And I think that that's really about transformation. Mm-hmm. Also, a lot of times there's often a ferryman or a guide who takes us across to other places contained within the underworld. And so, you know, that I think is related very much to like spirit guides. Thing is, there's usually some obstacles. And so I think that obstacles have a lot to do with the obstacles that we have within. And so I think that the obstacles will often relate to shadow work and healing. I got a couple more. The underworld is usually, it's also filled with many types of non-human beings along with the dead. And these can be, you know, things from demons, deities, astral parasites, you know, there's many different types of beings. Another feature is often seen in the description of the underworld is by journeying to the underworld, we can often discover secret or hidden knowledge. And, you know, that might be some sort of clarity, might have things that have to do with magic, or it might have things to do with healing. So there's like so many different things, but I think that those are like a few of the most common themes and structures that are found in the underworld. And by knowing or just becoming familiar with what some of those features are, we can use them as a starting point in building our own map. And so I'm just, I'm going to pause here and just kind of get some of your thoughts on what you can tell us about the underworld.
Well, you did a really good job of hitting points, so I guess that, you know, kind of is part of it. But I also think that, I mean, obviously, you know, it's basically, we think of it as below, and some of the cultures that have this they don't necessarily think of it as below, and, you know, they think of it as alongside. It's just another dimension. And, you know, so in a way, you know, because now the Celts obviously see it as that. It's another dimension that is alongside the physical dimension. And then, you know, that's called the other world. And, of course, upper world is something that is still within the same, you know, it's kind of like all layered within the concept of the physical world, but it's beyond this physical dimension. I find that, you know, to me, that is more, that resonates more. But when you look at the fact that you have to travel in your physical realm below, whether it's you leave the physical body and you travel outside of it to some other level of energy, or you do it through journeying, like, you know, shamanic journeying, or it was interesting because I was thinking of the different things that we look at that are part of, like, vision questing. You know, we, you know, we call it that because term that survived a lot of the transformations that have happened in our, you know, cultures. And it means going outside of ourselves, the physical realm, to a area that is the underworld or the other world, and finding, as you say, through the journey with spirit guides, or if it's, you know, an actual physical leaving of the body because of the death of the physical body, that you are brought to this other realm. And it is something to look at in terms of obstacles or issues. So I think looking at it from a more symbolic way, it's, you know, embodying the subconscious, the mind, the hidden aspects of the human psyche, and the, you know, basically the concept of pursuing this other aspect and finding the things that have been our obstacles, blocks, and and or hidden knowledge, which is the wisdom that comes when you let go of your blocks, your obstacles, or so they've made myths about it, you know, and we know those from many different cultures and traditions about going in and deepening and then going further out and getting those answers. So to me, I understand the underworld as what we, you know, you brought up all the different points and a lot of the more traditional ways, the Greeks, they always have three levels, by the way. Well, not always, but a lot of them, where it's, you know, the underworld has, you know, the place where the humans can, you know, go, the place where the deities are, or the, you know, Elysian mist, the Elysian meadows, you know, of beauty, and, you know, the good people go, the bad people go, and then, you know, kind of like, you know, your transitional area. And I think that that, again, speaks to that same concept of shifting and transforming. You know, I, you know, I think that the soul, when it goes into these areas, it is about shifting from one level to the other in, well, you say in ways to, shall we say, you're punished, and then you have a certain amount of time, like you go to jail, and then you, you learn something about what happened, and you are, you know, how you can better yourself, and then you come out and you go to another level, and then you can, you know, depending on if you believe in reincarnation. So that's kind of how I see the general aspect of it, and where I get a sense of it. And the mythical creatures come from there. You know, you have the Siddhe, the, you know, in the Celtic tradition, which is, you know, the deities, spirits, you know, all of these things are in different layers, whether it's below and then, oh, you get to go above to the higher level and you get, you know, up there. It's, they have it so that we, they make an understanding of the physical embodiment and what happens after we lose our body. So, there I am.
Okay, so we have a couple of minutes. So I just, I really like that, what you were saying about, I don't know as much about the Celtic version of the underworld and the city as much. I know a little bit about them, but, you know, I was just thinking about, like, how we are so interwoven with all the different aspects or dimensions of the life force. You know, I really do see us as like the intersection, you know, of all the energy surrounding us. So, you know, we can, you know, whether it's seeing the energy of the mother below you and the earth, and the father and the sky, and, you know, seeing your brothers and sisters to either side of you, the future generations in front of you, the past generations in back. But I think that just making, being aware of that, almost like a holographic field surrounding us, makes it easier to envision this map, or to at least get your starting point on the map. And, you know, just being able to, you know, whether you see it as the abyss or that on the tree of life, or, you know, whether you see it as a, some other type of doorway, to me, it almost doesn't matter, like, what you call it. But I think that all of these different traditions have enough similarity that you can find the references that it shows you that energy is the same. And so we are, oh, we got a minute to, I better get going here because it is time for us to take a break. And so we are going to take a little break, but we will be back on the other side of that, jumping a little bit further into everything having to do with the underworld. So break us away, Nagashiba.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LaFay, in syndication, Tuesdays. The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays. And The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Yay, we're back!
Yep. Right. We bounced back.
We did. In the full moon. Yeah. Bouncing away. I hope I'm not bouncing away too much tonight, but yeah. We are back to talk more about what the underworld is about and how to possibly find your map to the underworld. And so why don't you start us off, Elvira, with some of your thoughts?
Well, I guess, first of all, I would say that doing research, you know, on the different cultural traditions, like sometimes, like I chose for this show, I went and looked up, you know, both my Scottish Celtic roots mm-hmm. and, you know, looked in that mythology, and of course the Greek, because from Sicily, you know, it was like it kind of considered the outcast of Rome anyway, even though they, you know, did have it under their thumb, but the Greeks were the ones that really kind of started stuff. So I kind of mm-hmm. looked at different things, and I felt if this is how I look at it, maybe this is how you can decide if it's genetic that you feel drawn to. You might, you know, again, if you're Native American or Polynesian or whatever, they all have the belief systems and the way they see what the underworld is. So that would be my start, and that's what I did to do that. And then when I, you know, which I mentioned earlier, the different realms and what their philosophy is in the Celtic, then I think that looking at it, if I'm of the living, okay, and I am personally choosing that I need to go to the underworld for a journey to find things or to retrieve, you know, soul retrieval, that you find a way to, number one, be quiet and put yourself in a sacred space so that you can feel comfortable and protected, and then move into traveling into mm-hmm. that realm and descending. Is it the descend, and, you know, again, we're talking about descending into what in the living is our subconscious, going deeper, and then going forward and choose, you know, to talk to the deities or something. You go into, you know, their heavenly realm or their, you know, their realm, mm-hmm. mythical creatures. I think it's what it is you find you learn their map. And then you start with an ally, and you move forward, and then you start mapping it out. Just like, you know, when the people that journeyed, we'll just use the Americas, come and they mm-hmm. started, you know, going off into the wilderness, and they started mapping out the areas. And then you would find where you need to go mm-hmm. or where you want to go once you've created a general map. And that's how I kind of worked with the Celtic version, because obviously some of the deities I'm not as connected with. I mean, obviously mm-hmm. we talked about Hecate last week, and she's basically mm-hmm. from the Greek Isles and from, you know, the Greek mm-hmm. tradition, but beyond that. But I believe that if you have a connection, then you utilize it and work mm-hmm. with it, and it will come to pass in a way that gives you, again, a map. And you mm-hmm. and I both know you can take a map, you can look at, like, when they have the old maps, you remember the paper maps before mm-hmm. GPS and everything, and then you look at it, and you see the ways that it's mapped out, and then what you do is you choose your way of going, you know, to get where you want to go. And sometimes it'd be personal. You have to go up a hill that you didn't know you had to go up, because that's mm-hmm. something that's in resistance to what you need to, you know, to yes. go through an obstacle, i.e. in your personal mm-hmm. self. And it's manifested in the realm of the underworld or the other world as this experience. Mm-hmm. and I think that, you know, you can use, you know, different tools that to get you there. I tend to do more mm-hmm. working with getting myself down into the meditative and going below that and getting into that really deep subconscious level. Mm-hmm. And or you can have someone, you know, help you, you know, if you have mm-hmm. a need to have help in terms of that. And they will get you there and be your external physical anchor to the world. Mm-hmm. And for me, that I have used that too. So I think for me, the underworld or other world is ever changing. I know there's general areas, but it's almost like mm-hmm. it manifests when I need it. And that's mm-hmm. how I, you know, sometimes I don't consciously know that I need it, but mm-hmm. it becomes a way for me to work with whatever is going on. And I don't necessarily, I haven't taken people to it as a, you know, a way to help people, but I have done it for myself. So my sense is, you know, the myths, the way it's done, yes, they're terrors, but, you know, the terrors are, in terms of ourselves, are our fears. And those are not, you know, it's not about, I mean, we can have them as bloody battles, or we can have them as, you know, the one that I constantly think of is, save me from being, you know, cliche, is David Bowie in The Labyrinth, when the female character says, you have no power over me, and then he sort of dissolves into dust and becomes the little owl of wisdom, because she has gained the wisdom of realizing this inner strength that, you know, was there. And I find it strengthening when I can do that and find my way. And for people that, you know, other things is, and this is, I think, where the games that are played on the computer, a lot of times too externalized, but it is based on internal things. So sometimes the gaming world may have a sliver of how to get into the underworld, but I think it has too much activity that you lose what you're focused on, which is going deeper. It just keeps you at a superficial level. But I think they had a good idea, you know. Got lost in activity. So looking at how to get there, I would, you know, definitely do, you know, a personal structure of what you feel comfortable with, and finding your tools that you want. Sometimes it's, you know, it can be something as simple as holding a stone that you feel is your strength, you know, to do it. And then if you're in nature, you know, the vision quest is fascinating, because, you know, you go into nature, and it's not about coming up against a real bear, even though I know that's part of the externalized tradition. But, you know, it's coming into your vision of the next part of who you are. That's my take on the underworld as it is. So why don't you kind of jump off and tell me where you're coming from with it?
This is really just a great topic. I mean, there's one thing that I kind of thought of is that as you were talking, and this is a question that I've been asked a time or two, when it comes to energy or visionary magic, is, are the astral realms or the inner realms or the underworld, you know, are they real, or are they just our imagination? And so I think it's probably both. But I'll tell you, if you ask that question to 20 different practitioners, you're probably going to get 20 different answers. And, you know, for me, I think that really the first layer of that question really has to do with the thought of what exactly is our imagination. And so, you know, I don't want to get too deep, as the imagination is many things, but what I've experienced is that the inner realms are not, or the underworld is not, it's not make-believe. But it is accessed by our mind, and it is accessed. Right. I mean, the key to unlocking it is our imagination. And so, but with that being said, what I believe is that the inner realms or the underworld are not imaginary, but they are accessed by our imagination.
I agree with
and,
you.
Yeah, because I think, like, the inner realms are actually the non-physical worlds outside of ourselves. And, you know, some people just call that the astral plane. And I think one way to define imagination is the ability to generate a structure in your head. And the structure can be creative, like composing a song or a piece of art in your head, but it can also go way beyond just those simple acts. And so I like to think like of our imagination as a real highly, you know, energetic, magical tool, because our imagination, I like to think of it like kind of as a continuum. You could visualize it like a keyboard where you might just play one note over and over again, or you might generate like an entire opera. So, you know, all of those notes are in, you know, like the keyboard of our imagination. When we add kind of like the willingness and open-mindedness to our imagination, I think that those are the keys that aid us in opening the doorway to the inner realms and to the underworld.
Right. Yes, definitely.
And I liked what you were saying about, you know, just having a map in the physical realm. You know, because just like any explorer, you know, in the physical realm, we usually start off like at a established point or an area that we know, you know, and then we can kind of chart or journal where we go. And so then we get to establish it and know where we're going. And I think that every time you do it and you do it, you know, more and more, you kind of build that energetic pathway. So I think that basically, like, before we start out, I think just like when we're trying to connect with deities, we do research and become familiar with, you know, some of the ancient stories and mythology, because that is kind of like our first step on of our process. And then we can kind of discover which path through the underworld kind of resonates with us or draws us the most. And so I like that you brought up the Celtic and the Greek. And there's, I mean, once you start diving into some of the different stories, I'm just, you know, I know probably most familiar with the Greek, but it's like, wow, this is, there are some wild things that can go on there. And there, I mean, there are beings that can serve as guides. But I would say always use caution and use discernment. And I've noticed with a couple, I don't know if you'd call them inner contacts, is that always be respectful. And I would never assume that if you encounter somebody that they're automatically your guide. I would ask them. And I think that if you are, and I think if you're journeying for a cause, like something where you're doing self-healing or something where you're helping somebody else, I think that you're carrying that energy with you, and you will usually draw beings towards you that are benevolent and want to help with that. So, yeah, and there's so many different types of beings. You know, there's ancestors and elders and deities, but there's also the uneasy dead. And so you have to, you know, just be a little cautious. And I like that you mentioned the use of, like, guided inner visions for journeying. I think that I think my favorite way of when I was starting out any connection to the underworld was I knew a couple of people who had done that. And so I heard what their, you know, heard their journey. And so then I recorded a journey for myself and then used that to go into the underworld and connect.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of helps because that's, you know, a person that's serving as a guide in the physical world to help you get a handle or a path to begin your journey to the underworld.
Exactly. Because a lot of times I think when we're trying to be both the guide and the journeyer, when we first start out, it really gets kind of difficult, and, you know, we might even get frustrated or frightened. And it also allows for, at times, to realize that you might, even as a practice, you know, a seasoned journeyer, you have a little bit more intensity, more emotion, something is really imperative, and you need to have an external guide, whether it is a physical person in your presence or it is a recorded process to get you there so you can totally release that part of yourself to that is holding that space to this other person or, you know, situation like a recording, that you can feel comfortable and safe, just like you said, to go into the journey and to go into what you need to find or go through.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to start out that way. There's a couple of different approaches to that too. I know a few times on the show we both mentioned the tatwas, which I've only used them a couple of times. But those are an interesting way to connect to the astral realm. But I'm not gonna, I wouldn't go in depth about those just because I have, it's only been a couple times that I used those. And it was quite a while ago. But I do like the use of guided inner vision. And I think that when we do that, for me, once I've worked in a vision, I can always find my way back without the use of the recording after experiencing it. And I know one of the ways I'll just talk about, start out, I think it's important to find a gateway. And so the gateway, I mean, there's other names for it, and there's probably, I'm sure, other gateways too, but the gateway that I use is called the, a lot of people call it the void. And so it's just the stillness. And I think to make, how can I say this? Let's see. Okay, so this void is a part of all of us. And to get access to this gateway and to enter it, I always think of it as like, what's that little area that when you go in the door, but you're like not all the way in the house, it's like a little mini, is that called a vestibule or something?
Yes, it's a vestibule.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I always kind of think of this as like entering the vestibule in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the void is like this, is a part of us, and it's a part of everything, and it's like this cosmic nexus of stillness, and it does act as a gateway, and I always think of it as like the axis and axle of all realms. And so I thought that was interesting how you said that in the Celtic tradition that they don't see the underworld as below their feet, but rather to the side, I think you said.
It's the same realm. It's just a different dimension. We use the word dimension. Mm-hmm. It would be, they usually have, you know, like across the ocean. Again, like what you were saying of crossing water, a lake, a river, and you know, but it's that process. There's a slight division, yes, which is your vestibule.
I like that because that feels right to me because so I see, like, the void as this axis and axle of all realms. And so it's like the doorway. And profound divine energy flows through this axis and axle that connects everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of visualize it as a flow of vertical energy, which kind of permeates and flows through all the multiple layers and dimensions of all things.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the, so to get to this void is actually very simple, because the void can be found in any element, and it can also be found within ourselves. And so it's like that spark of divinity that connects all of us. And so real simple way to do it, I'll just describe it, is you can use any element, like earth, air, fire, or water. And so sometimes I'll use one of my favorite crystals or candle flame. But let's just say for this purpose, I'm using my favorite crystal. And so what I'll do is I'll set the crystal before me, get very relaxed, quiet my mind. I'll take some deep breaths, and I'll just allow, just kind of let my awareness drift, sensing the sky above me and sensing the earth beneath my feet. And then I'll just focus on that crystal and breathe in and breathe out, and then just I'll continue to focus on it, and then I'll close my eyes. And I'll see myself in my mind's eye walking over to the crystal, and I'll see myself stepping into it and gently sinking down into it. Because that crystal, as all elements, it carries that spark of divinity. And so I'm just connecting with that. And that's what takes me into the void. And as I enter that, everything else kind of will drift away.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll find myself within a space of really just kind of like nothingness. But it's also a place, from where all energy flows. And it's like the nexus of all possibilities. And so this void is a good gateway, because you can sink down into it and feel yourself surrounded by the peace within it. And just know that if you allow yourself to get into that void, that that's the gateway. And with your intentions set ahead of time, you can go just about anywhere from there, including the underworld. And so when I'm done with that, I'll bring myself back, see myself stepping out of the crystal and back into myself. And then I'll gaze into the crystal. It sort of gives my gateway. I'll see the portal close. I'll sense that spark of the divine that connects me, and I'll tell it thank you, and then take some time to ground and center. And so, I would suggest to anybody who is interested in that is just start out with connecting to that gateway, and that, if you can do that, that's a great beginning.
Really good.
Yeah.
Oh. What else? I know we're looking at our time, and I'm kind of like going, I want to hear more. I want to hear more, but I we're getting close. So, I will, cede it to you to, if there's anything else you want to, put out, I'll just say, I'll be the one to say goodbye at the end, because I really feel you've got some other thing, at least one other thing you want to talk about.
No, well, I think. not necessarily. I kind of felt like I was done, but I can always talk more.
Well, I know it was part of our thought to, give them a little taste of, to how to get into it. And I think that you did that very well. And it may be that is where we need to, let it go. But I didn't know if you had something else on your mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think so. I think that, the underworld is, I'm glad that we are able to talk about it in a way where we kind of broke it down and just talked about it in a way where it was accessible and not just, a floating construct that we weren't able to really do anything with. I think magically, just working with Underworld is can be a really amazing experience, you know, because I think for things having to do with shadow work, with healing, you know, but I think that first, the first step is to, you know, find out how to get there, you know, take your time, take baby steps into kind of researching and getting to know a little bit of the Underworld. And pretty soon, you know, as you travel those pathways, they become very familiar and very strong. And then you are able to, you know, to actually work with your shadow, work with different deities or Underworld beings. So with that, I don't know, do you have any final thoughts? Otherwise, I'll start wrapping.
No, start wrapping. I'm fine. I think that was excellent. I can't say anymore.
All righty. So I will wrap up with contact info. For readings or root work, you can find Elvira and I on Voodoo Psychics and on AIR, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. You can also find Elvira online at www.elvira.com and at www.milk-and-honey.com. And then you can find me, Deb, on my website at www.bewitchingbee.com. And with that, that kind of wraps up tonight's show. I have to say that next week, Thursday, we will continue on our October theme of journeying through transformation with Elvira and I talking about transformation on the witch's path. And so for now, it's time for us to say goodbye. And until next time, our magical friends, witch on, witch well, and witch wisely.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio broadcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Central, and is available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website at witchpriestessandcauldron.com. That's witchpriestessandcauldron.com. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. all for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit Bartesian.com/cocktail. That's BARTESIAN.com/cocktail.